Hey there, everyone. Happy Tuesday. It is Denise. Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling. It is June 14th, and we are here to chat NXT 2.0. That is right. So I got to start off by saying that I enjoyed today's episode. I thought today's episode of NXT felt very, very promising in terms of like the talent that we're used to seeing are just getting better and better. There are people that I've become a big fan of since getting to see them lately on NXT 2.0. I love the direction in which we're moving for certain people, etc. So I can't wait to get into all of that here today. But before we get started, this show is sponsored by WrestleRumble.com. But you are more than welcome to go ahead and send in super chats. If you do send in super chats, you get 100%. Wait, what am I saying? No, I get 100% of the proceeds after as YouTube takes their cut. You would think by now, saying that spiel 1,000 times a week, you would think I'd memorize my own thing now. Apparently, I have not. But either way, get your super chat sent in here, and I will read your comments on the show, and we'll chat and all of that good stuff. But regardless, stay updated here. Send in thoughts in the comments. I will be reading all of that stuff. Guys, what is happening today? I got like a million shows this week. So yesterday I did Raw. Today I got NXT. Tomorrow I got AEW. Thursday I got nothing going on Thursday, actually. So that's good. But Friday I got SmackDown and Rampage. Saturday I'm going to be doing Triple Mania. Sunday I'll be talking about Slammiversary. Monday again Raw. Tuesday NXT. Wednesday AEW. It's just madness, guys. Oh my god. All right, let's get into this because we got plenty to talk about. Everybody, thank you so much to everyone who's in here having a good time here on these comment sections. Always good stuff. Everybody putting out that this was actually a fun episode today. Yes, for those of you who are asking, this episode of NXT was pre-taped. It was recorded. This was not live. So those of you who are wondering why Troy was still on today's show, it was because it was pre-recorded. So we already knew that going into this, especially when the news came out that he had been released by WWE. We already knew that he was going to be on this episode just because it was pre-taped. So unfortunately, it was a segment that aged poorly because, you know, things happened, but we'll talk about that in just a second. Let's get to this. We got more people saying they really enjoyed today's show. Arthur Denson, it sounds like it's time for another vacation. Always in the mood for a vacation, but there's never time for any vacation. But let's get to this, everybody. We're going to kick things off with the opening match, which was Malik Blade and Idris Enofe versus Creed Brothers for the NXT Tag Team title. So first of all, I love the way that this match was put together because last week, Malik and Idris, they just went up to the Creed Brothers and were like, hey, man, like we want a title shot. We want to challenge you guys for the NXT Tag Team Championships. And Julius and Brutus were like, hell yeah, let's do this. Clearly, Roderick Strong was very unhappy about it because he's, you know, that they've been drifting apart now. Their breakup is bound to happen anytime soon. And so you essentially had the Creed brothers telling them like, yeah, dude, it's okay. We can do this match. And Roderick Strong was like, what the hell? Like, this isn't Christmas. Why are you guys giving out championship matches like nothing? Regardless, we ended up having this match and it ended up being a pretty good match. I think it lasted around like 15 or so minutes, somewhere around there. So it took up a good chunk of the opening of the show. And I appreciated this. I appreciated this for multiple reasons. First of all, on the side of Idris and Malik, you guys know, and if you have come on here religiously and watched these NXT 2.0 post shows, you know that even when they were in the jobber portions of the night where they were going out there and essentially just giving wins to other people, even when they were jobbing on their own separately, both Malik and Idris, they were doing a good job. Like they were going out there and at least having like these pretty exciting matches where they were doing, you know, fun stuff in the ring. You saw them just go out there and really show that that athleticism, and you saw glimpses of that. And then lo and behold, they ended up putting them together as a tag team. And I feel that decision to put them together as a tag team was a really good idea because they have a similar style, different but similar style. And I just really like them as a tag team together. Like, I feel like they have so much potential. And having matches like this, like having these like really long, or at least these pretty lengthy TV matches, is only going to help them get better. And you're going to see like this growth. And I feel like already we've seen this growth between Blade and No Face. So I've really been liking them together as a duo. And even when they've gotten a couple of like those comedy skits backstage, and they've done good. Like, they've been enjoyable. Like, the guys have personality. It's nice to see. So I feel like there's so much potential there. And I'm glad they gave them a lot of time today, because you got to go in there and, you know, do this match with the Creed brothers. Now, on the side of the Creed brothers, this was beneficial to them because we all knew that they were going to retain their championships. That's perfectly fine. But them going out there and you know, having this match, it just makes them look like fighting champions. They're mixing it up with a new team. I like it. It got them a good win right off the bat. Like, in the beginning of this match, you saw them I think it was Julius. Yeah, it was Julius. Julius took this match to the mat, so you got to see a lot of fun stuff there. And then once Idris got into the ring, we got to see the pace pick up a little bit. We saw a really nice drop kick from Idris. Blade came in there. He hit a couple of cross bodies, a couple of cross bodies. He had a couple of drop kicks in there as well. And then finally, Brutus won the match for his team with a sliding lariat and pins Malik for the win. So this was a good all around and a really nice way to open up the show, I think. So I was a fan of this, guys. Cadillac Carson says, I love Roderick Strong in all of this. He's such a jerk. He's a jerk in this. It's great. I love it. He's kind of like the tough love kind of guy where he's like, why are you guys doing this? This is not how you do it. And he's always so grumpy and this and that. And it works. It works because the story is very clear. Roderick Strong wants to be the one making the decisions. He wants to mold the Creed brothers into what he wants. And the Creed brothers are like, nah, dude, we're kind of thinking about going a different direction. Like, we're not really feeling this vibe with you, Roderick. And so you get these two clashing styles and it works. So yes, I do like that as well. Good stuff there. Xenohour sends in a comment saying Blade and Anofi have a lot of potential, just need time. Exactly. A lot of potential, just need time. I appreciate that. Cadillac Carson says, it's funny how the one who is jacked always has his shirt off backstage. I think it's Idris. Idris is a little bit more jacked than Malik. Yeah. He's a little bit more like just muscular around the board. Or are you talking about the Creed brothers? Because you got Brutus. Brutus is a little bit more like bulkier than Julius, but that's because also he's shorter, so he's a little bit bulkier. So I don't know which team you're talking about, but either way, you got one guy that's a little bit, you know, different from the other guy. So clearly. Anyways, this was a win, guys. A win for NXT at the top of the show. Moving on, we got a backstage segment between Indy Hartwell, Cora Jade, and Roxanne Perez. And this was a little bit interesting, and I'll tell you why. I kind of feel like they were towing the line a little bit in the sense where they were kind of incorporating this real life situation that happened with the releases and incorporating it into this backstage segment, because Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez were all there, like living up, reliving their memories, prior to their WWE days, because they've been telling that story that they had a friendship prior to WWE, and that's why they're here together right now, etc. So Cora and Roxanne are having their moment, and Indy Hartwell, who's teaming with them tonight, kind of has this like, she's a little bit jealous, but not like in an evil way, just kind of, you know, basically saying she misses that. Like, she misses having a friend and somebody to talk to on the roster. And we all know that she's talking about not just Dexter Lumis, but also Persia, who are no longer with WWE. And then she tells Cora and Roxanne, like, you guys need to be careful. You need to be careful around here because you just never know. Things can change. And I was kind of like, what? Like, they're kind of incorporating this WWE releases thing into this like storyline here, at least for this specific segment, because it's not like they just disappeared, right? They were released. They were released from the company. So Anyways, this led to Cora and Roxanne trying to make Indy Hartwell feel better. And, you know, they calm her down and they boost her spirits. And Indy's talking about how she's old, even though she's only like 25. But she's talking about how she feels much older. And the girls are like, no, and this and that. So they make her feel better. It was nice, but it was a little interesting to see how they kind of towed the line there. And, you know, kind of brought up the WWE releases without bringing them up, but still bringing them up. Whatever, that happened. All right, so let's go ahead and continue on from here. We do got a comment from Juan Ortega who says, do not ever separate Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez. You know, they kind of remind me of, for example, like I feel like we've been talking about this so much more now, but Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan is like the team that we want to happen. And WWE is definitely teasing it. Even on their social media, they were like, what would you call them if they were a team together? They're Cora Jade and Roxanne Perez are similar to Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan in different ways, but similar where you see them and it makes sense. It makes sense putting them as a pairing. I know we get a lot of like those odd couple tag teams and those tend to work pretty good. You tend to have a lot of fun with those odd couple pairings, but I'm a sucker for those teams that look like an actual team, that look like they belong in a little package together. And that's how I see Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan, right? Well, that's also how I see Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. While I'm not saying that I just see them as a tag team, because we do see them obviously all as individual competitors, but as a tag team, you see the potential, you see the possibility. So I do hope we get to see that in a nice, pretty package for Cora and Roxanne. Indy Hartwell, it's interesting, but, and I know today, and we'll talk more about the main event, later on because they do team up together, etc. But I like Indy Hartwell, but I don't want her to kind of be this third wheel between Cora and Roxanne, because Cora and Roxanne together, they're the vibe. They're the item, right? Like that's their thing. And even though today she was teaming up with them, I hope they don't always do this where it kind of feels like Indy is like the third wheel, but it kind of sucks though, because it's almost like they don't have anything for Indy Hartwell. Again, she took a massive hit during these releases, not in the sense that she lost her job, but she lost those people that she was working closely with on screen, both Dexter and Persia. So it does kind of suck for Indy, but I just don't feel like she fits in so great with Cora and Roxanne. Like she fit in all right for tonight, but I don't think I would want this to become like a trios thing with all three of them, like Toxic Attraction. I don't know. She just doesn't fit in with Cora and Roxanne. But let's go ahead and move on from here, guys. Let's get into Tiffany Stratton versus Fallon Henley. This was a rematch from the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. And like I said last week, guys, I've become such a big fan of Tiffany Stratton in terms of what I'm seeing from her on NXT 2.0. Dude, I am rooting for her. I'm rooting for her because I respect the fact that every time she goes out there, she tries something new, something that we haven't seen from her before. And she's becoming a lot more clean in the ring. Her stuff is coming out a little bit more crisp. And we talked about this last week, so I won't go into too much detail today. But there were, she had a really nice, I don't even know what you call it, but she had a really good, she did this thing off the top rope where she was like balancing on her shins, and she had her shins on the top rope, and then she ended up doing like a forward flip off of that, but like it was on her shins. I really like that. And you know, they're pushing the fact that she has this big gymnastics background, and she's starting to really, she's learning very well how to incorporate her gymnastics with her wrestling and bring that together into her matches. And we've seen that growth, and I appreciate and respect that growth, man, because she's doing things out there that I can't even do, won't even try, can't even get near that. So respect for Tiffany Stratton. I like what she's bringing to the table lately, and her development is going pretty well. Now, I do want to say one thing. Now, we know that Tiffany Stratton is a very good-looking girl, and she kind of has, like, all the things that would entail her being, like, sped up and moved up to the main roster, right? Like, she's, you know, she's blonde, she's gorgeous, all of this, right? She has everything that you need to make her into a star on the main roster, but I do hope that they don't rush her. Like, I hope that they don't quickly pull her away from NXT to Raw and SmackDown. And the reason I say that is because I want to see her actually like develop and get better so that by the time that she does get to Raw and SmackDown, you know, she's a well-rounded person in all sense of a well-rounded wrestler, right? So I do kind of hope to see that for Tiffany Stratton. We did end up seeing Wendy Chu come out. I didn't like the finish. This was the only thing I didn't like from this was Wendy Chu coming out and essentially costing Tiffany Stratton the match because it was very silly. She throws out this confetti and blows it in her face like a SpongeBob meme to Squidward. We've all seen that meme. I posted the meme. So she throws in the confetti to Tiffany Stratton's face. Tiffany gets rolled up and that's how she ends up losing this match to Fallon Henley. So I get it. It continues this like quirky, fun thing that Wendy Chu has been doing with all of her enemies, but it's very silly. Like, nobody's gonna lose a match because they got confetti in their face. Like, it's confetti, all right? Let's be real. There's soft tissue paper. It's confetti. No one should be losing a match because they got confetti in their face. So that's the only reason that's the only thing I didn't like from this was the finish for this. But everything else, I enjoyed. I like Fallon Henley. I like how she's coming about things too. She has a very like feisty, not feisty, but she has like a very like energetic presence. And I appreciate that. So there you go. Good stuff there with Tiffany Stratton and Fallon Henley. Kind of like Carson says, I mean, if you get confetti in your eye, maybe. See, but even then, we got to be very strategic. How is this confetti hitting you? If the confetti just like, let's just, you know what? Here we go. I got a Post-it. And a Post-it is way more, the paper is way more rougher than a confetti tissue paper. So let's just say, okay, this is the confetti, right? If it lands like this on your eyeball, that's not going to do anything. That's no harm. Now, if the confetti goes like this and you get the edge into your eye, okay, maybe. But then again, this is a goddamn Post-it. This is not tissue paper. So no, no, no. Tissue paper? Come on. Come on. There's no way. It's not believable. If it was a bunch of Post-its, maybe, because they're a little bit harder. It's a little bit harder paper. Why am I arguing this? I'm putting way too much thought into this. Oh my God. King of Waco Munda says she got paper cut in her eyes. How? It was tissue paper. Confetti is tissue paper. She cannot get paper cuts in her eyeballs with tissue paper. Oh man, I'm thinking about this way too much. Zeno Hour says maybe Tiffany Stratton has a fear of paper. Wendy Chu is a heel. YT says Tiffany was Squidward and she couldn't deal with Wendy's SpongeBob shit anymore. And she just gave up after the confetti and let Fallon Patrick get the win. I love it. Thank you for turning this into a SpongeBob episode. I appreciate the creativity, YT. Adam Suzanne says paper cuts from confetti. Mythbusters confetti edition. Mythbusters confetti edition. All right. It just doesn't make sense at all. Ugh. Cole Henderson, shout out to my friend Cole who's in here. He says, confetti is big over in this match. I'm breaking down the science here of this tissue paper. I swear to God, next time I'm going to make a freaking TikTok video about this. I'm going to rip up a bunch of goddamn confetti, throw that shit in my face, and let's see what the hell happens. This needs to be put to the test. All right. Juan Ortega says, Denise no sells confetti. Guys, it's just like, what the hell? Who loses that way? All right. Moving on from this, everybody. Let's get into Apollo Crews. So, I bloody love what we did today. Now, I feel like I was pretty critical of Apollo Crews coming into NXT 2.0 and going face to face with Bron Breakker, and I stated my reasons as to why on that show. Well, now we're moving on, and I gotta say, what they did today or what we saw today for Apollo Crews really felt good to me. It felt good to me, and by that I mean is, I mentioned one of the reasons why I couldn't take Apollo Crews seriously before was because we were seeing him in this role on the main roster that was so goofy, so cartoonish. He's doing all this like goofy stuff with Commander Aziz, and they really like made the character feel like a wacky cartoon that you wouldn't even watch, right? And so that was part of my criticisms where I couldn't really take him seriously going up against Bron Breakker because I had seen what he had been recently doing on the main roster. So, okay, whatever. we move forward. This week, they did this this skit, essentially, where they had Apollo Crews sitting in a diner, like he's in a sitcom, you know. Every sitcom has their diner that their people go to. So Apollo Crews is in his diner. And Apollo Crews is writing in this journal. And I'm like, okay, this is already very different. Apollo Crews sitting in a diner writing in his journal. Fine. He's writing about how he, you know, he's had the success in WWE and on the main roster and this and that. But that throughout it all, he always heard echoes of NXT, that NXT was always kind of in the back of his mind and wanting to do stuff with NXT. And I'm like, all right, fine. Then they show this like really rude customer, this guy who's just being like such a juice bag to the waitress. So there's this guy who's being a super jerk to the waitress and he's telling her off and this and that. So they show Apollo Crews get up. And he tells the guy, or he goes up to the guy and says like, oh, is there a problem here? And then he like kicks his butt. But then it turns out that that was just his imagination. He imagined doing it. He imagined going up to the guy and basically teaching him a lesson. Well, then he looks at the guy and the guy's being rude to the waitress. So he gets up and in turn does what he imagined. So he does end up doing it and teaching that guy a lesson. So I like this. This is completely and utterly different from anything that we've seen Apollo Crews do on the main roster before. This feels more more legit, more authentic. It doesn't feel goofy. I liked this. I really, really like this. And I like the direction that they're going with Apollo Crews. And if they keep doing stuff like this, then it'll change my perception that I had of Apollo Crews from what we were seeing from him on the main roster. So anyways, this was a win. Thumbs up. I think one of the things that NXT 2.0 is doing a good job of is all of these backstage segments, these skits that they're doing. Part of the reason why this whole, you know, Tony D'Angelo, La Familia, Legado del Fantasma stuff got over was because of all of those skits that they were doing. And I think they've gotten pretty creative with those. And so I do want to put those over because they have been some of my favorite incorporations of the new era of NXT 2.0. So there you go. Sal P says Apollo owns a lot of leather jackets. That he does. They look good too. They look really, really good. So I'm not even going to lie. Tony says Denise versus the confetti. Oh, man. Let's see what else we got here. We got a lot of people putting over the leather jackets. There you go. The leather jackets there. Man, Zeno Hour says Apollo Crews with a journal going around Orlando beating up toxic dudes in public. Sold. Hey, man, I'm pretty sure you can find a lot of toxic dudes and beat them up in public. Let's be real. That's a very realistic thing, okay? Very realistic. All right, let's go. Oh, this is good. M. Durrett says Apollo channeled his inner Liam Neeson. Now, I have seen... Now, don't ask me to name the Liam Neeson movies, but I swear to God, I have watched literally every Liam Neeson movie he's ever done. Like, tell me the plot, and I'll be like, yeah, I've seen that movie. I mean, besides Taken, everybody knows the movie Taken and the name Taken. But I swear to God, I've seen like every Liam Neeson movie there is. I will watch a movie if he's in it, okay? He's that actor. Everybody has that actor that they'll watch whatever just because a certain actor's in it. Liam Neeson, that's for me. Also, my grandma totally has a crush on Liam Neeson. I just know it. She always says like, oh yeah, I like his work. And I'm like, yeah, sure, grandma. I know you like more than his work, but I don't blame her. Like, I would go for Liam Neeson. Liam Neeson, thumbs up. But anyways, Apollo Crews did indeed channel his inner Liam Neeson. Let's see what else we got. Sal P says, have you not heard what Liam Neeson said about black people? That's the last person he wants to channel. What did he say? Did he say something bad? Ooh, I'm not up to date with that. Oh, man. Oh, no. No, I legitimately do not know what Liam Neeson said about that. I only know his movies. Wait, someone said Liam Neeson's boring? What? His movies are so good. All right, moving on here. Oh, man. All right. Matt Hensley says, let's be real, 90% of the plots of his movie is old man beats up people for an hour and a half. This is true, actually. That is true. He beats them up on a plane. He beats them up on a train. He beats them up in another country, etc. Oh, that was him. Sheldon Jackson says that he went looking to beat up a black person. Says, oh my God. Damn, Liam Neeson. Frick. Man. Oh, man. Yeah. Okay, let's move on from this. Sorry, I was thinking about this. I was like, man, Liam Neeson, damn it. All right, moving on from here. Let's see what else we got here. After this, we got Wesley versus Zion Quinn in a rematch that absolutely nobody was saying, let's see this match again. All right, this is, I think, the third time we've seen Wesley versus Zion Quinn. And I remember there was like 2 weeks in a row where they had promoted it and then it didn't even happen. And everybody, it was like we were supposed to be bummed. And I was like, absolutely nobody is bummed. Like nobody's day is ruined because we didn't see Wesley versus Zion Quinn. Anyways, this was a lot better than what they've done in the past between them. But so we end up seeing Wesley get the win. So good for Wesley. He got a win. It was a good win. I loved his finish. I don't even know what his finish was. He did like a corkscrew elbow. I don't even know what the hell his finish was, but it looked freaking great. Okay. I loved even like before the finish, he did a bunch of backflips and then did like a Pele to Zion Quinn. That was good too. So I did like all of that. But in terms of, we need to talk about Wesley and Zion Quinn here, okay? So Wesley, this is the best thing that they've done with him since the breakup of MSK. Just tonight. This win was the best thing they've done with Wesley. Everything else, not so good. It hasn't been going too great for Wesley. Like Wesley has been, they first were portraying him as this like angry guy. Then it kind of seemed like they were giving him some sort of tropic gimmick. I don't know. Nothing has been really crystal clear with what they're doing with Wesley. And it seems to me like they really weren't that sure. They had him job out to Zion Quinn, like literally the week after the breakup with the MSK. So things were going pretty rough. Okay. But seems like today, things are going, they're looking a little better for Wesley. But for the most part, it's like, what are they doing with Wesley? Where are we going from here? Who's he going to be? What's his story going to be? I mean, I guess besides former NXT champion, what is Wesley's story? On top of that, Zion Quinn. Here's the thing about Zion Quinn. I have more questions than I do answers. And by that, I mean, what reason have we been given to care about Zion Quinn and who Zion Quinn is on the NXT roster? Who is he? What's even Zion Quinn's real, like, what's his persona? What's his message? What's his story? They haven't really given us much with Zion Quinn. He's kind of just like been that guy that's just like there, but nothing major has really happened. He was 1 minute doing a dance off, a goofy dance off. Then the next thing you know, he's doing, what was he doing? Oh yeah, he was doing that love story with Electra Lopez. And then he was squashing Wesley. Then he was MIA in action. Now he's back and now he's losing to Wesley. What's the deal with Zion Quinn? That's my question here. He's been there long enough to the point where you would think you would know what his deal is, but we don't really know what his deal is. There's not much else to say. So that's why I didn't care to see Wesley versus Zion Quinn, because we'd seen this before. And secondly, they didn't give me a reason to care about it. Anyways, that's just where we're at here. Oh no. Oh no. Not these comments about Zion Quinn. Poor Zion. I just hope, I really, really hope that they figure something out with Zion. Let's see. Because it's just like, it feels like there's just nothing different about him. You know, like there's nothing different about Zion Quinn. There's nothing that's standing out is what I'm trying to get at. There's nothing that screams to me, oh, he's different from this guy on the roster. Oh, he's different from that guy on the roster. They haven't really made that clear for us just yet. So there we go. King of Hueco Mundo says, why was Wes on the beach? Remember, he was on the beach and then another day he had like palm trees on his shirt. I thought, okay, the guy's on the beach. The guy wears palm trees on his t-shirt. He's doing a tropic gimmick. Okay, makes sense. Sure. But they never did anything with that. So I guess that just happened. Sal P says, you sounded like Jerry Seinfeld doing a stand-up right now. What's the deal? I love Jerry Seinfeld. Love. I can't replicate it now. Damn, I was going to try to do it again, but I can't. Well, I can't do it. I was going to try to do it, but it's not going to come out right the second time. You know, when you do things once, you can't. Lightning's not striking twice here. Moving on from here, YT says Zion Quinn over Von Wagner because Quinn isn't forgettable. I was going to say, I don't even remember what Von Wagner did on today's show, but I'm sure it'll come up right now. Anyways, all right, moving on, because after this, we got the Diet, Joe Gacy's new stable. And they go off against Dante Chen and Javier Bernal. I forgot Dante Chen was on the NXT 2.0 roster, but he was. Now I'm trying to remember. Dante Chen, try to remember what he did on the roster. He hasn't really done that much. I was going to say there hasn't really been that much with Dante Chen that I can recall that actually stood out to me. But either way, the Diet is here. They are wrestling in their red suits that you've seen them in for all of these promos and these vignettes, these like red hooded suits, these baggy pants. The outfits are holding them back. I'll just leave it at that. The outfits are holding them back. I was not impressed by the Diet whatsoever. They did nothing of note that was interesting. And personally, again, the outfits are holding them back. Have them take them off afterwards. I know we're trying to keep the mystery, but you see them fixing the suits when they're wrestling, and it just takes away from what they're doing, like in-ring wise. So personally, not a fan of it. Quick win for the Diet. Congratulations. We are now living in Gilead. But anyways, after this, Joe Gacy does his, you know, mumbo jumbo conversation with the crowd. Crowd hates it. CWC just chanting, "We want wrestling." That's literally what's been happening with all of these Joe Gacy promos. In through one ear, out the other, "We want wrestling." That's it, guys. That is it. All right, moving on from here. And Howie Parter says, "Are you talking about those Mortal Kombat druids?" Druids? Yeah. But I like to see them. I actually see them as those people from The Handmaid's Tale because I love that show. Also, season 5 is coming. Or is it season 4? I forget. But that's coming soon. Big fan of Handmaid's Tale, even though I can't remember what season we're on. Okay. Sal P says, "Did you see how they were holding the tag rope? I was dying." I didn't see that. Oh, man. How were they holding it? I missed it. Oh, man. All right. M. Durant says, these dudes really wrestled the entire match with those hoods on. That's some real supervillain stuff. Yeah, I wasn't feeling it. Bonkers LFC says, "Grizzled young vets, probably. Who knows? But I just know that those suits did nothing for me. Man. All right. Nikita Lyons is returning soon. Good for her. She's out from injury. She'll be back soon. Congratulations. Tony D'Angelo and Legado del Fantasma. This is the segment that was, well, the whole show was pre-taped, right? But this is the pre-taped segment that did not age very well, because we all know that Troy was released by WWE due to the violation of a policy which has not been put out there. I do not know what the policy is or what happened. It's kind of weird. We don't know what the policy was that Troy essentially violated, but apparently he's saying that he could be back in next year. So, okay. But this aged very poorly because Tony D'Angelo promotes them. He promotes them from associates to soldiers of the family. And I'm like, damn, they just got promoted. They just got promoted in the storyline. And Troy ends up getting released in real life. That sucks. Well, who knows? Because I don't really know what the policy is or what was violated. But anyways. And someone also points out that Tony D is injured also. So this did not, and I repeat, did not age properly. So anyways, they make a match. We'll talk about that later on. Let's go ahead and move on from here. Let's get into Bron Breakker versus Duke Hudson for the NXT Championship. I feel bad for Duke Hudson in the sense that nothing is sticking for Duke Hudson. He is a great look, great physique, and that's about it. There hasn't been much that's been really working for Duke Hudson. I think he's kind of along the same boat as Zion Quinn, where it's like they're trying different. Well, they've tried a little bit more so with Duke Hudson than they have with Zion Quinn. So Duke Hudson's maybe like a couple levels above Zion Quinn, but they're kind of still in the same boat where nothing is really sticking for them. And I don't even want to say the whole Persia thing was sticking, because it really wasn't. People were rejecting that when we were watching that weekly. Like, people were not into Duke Hudson and Indian Persia and Dexter and what they were doing. They weren't into it. Things were starting to look up with Dexter and Duke possibly teaming, but then that was taken away. So now it just honestly, like, Duke Hudson needs a serious reinvention. A serious reinvention, because it's just nothing that they've been doing with his character to me has been working since like the very beginning with the poker stuff. I was like, pass. Then the stuff with Persia, pass. When they had him, you know, I think it was, I forgot what match I was complaining about, but I was complaining about something else. Anyways, I was like, pass on that too. And we move on to this match with Bron Breakker and Duke for the NXT Championship. Actually, I think this is what it was that I was complaining about last time. But anyways, so for this, this ended up being a squash. This was a squash. Like, Duke tried to get, you know, to attack Bron in a very fast manner. So this did get started off pretty hot. But Bron Breakker easily just, like, suplexed him, give him his best, you know, his hits, got the win. Bron Breakker wins. Good. This is exactly what it needed to be, because Duke Hudson's not in a position right now to be having this like super competitive match with Bron Breakker. Like, it's not happening. Bron Breakker needs to go in there and hit it and quit it. Moving on from here, we did have Cameron Grimes. This is the part of the show that I did love. We had Cameron Grimes coming out, and you know, he's pissed because he lost his NXT North American Championship. He's no longer champion. So he comes out and he basically tells Bron Breakker, "You and I, we haven't had a chance to talk to each other yet." He then goes off, and I loved this promo. I loved it. So he basically tells Bron Breakker that the only reason he's NXT champion is because of his family name and because of who his dad is and who his family is and this and that. But what was funny about this was we all know he's a Steiner, right? Like, everybody and their mother knows that he's a Steiner, yet his name is Bron Breakker. Make what you will of that. Another reason they should have just left the Steiner name on him, especially if they were going to be using it in these storylines, but whatever. So Grimes starts to tell him how, like, his dad got to be there in the front row and watch Bron Breakker, and how Cameron Grimes' dad had to watch him from, you know, from up in heaven, and, you know, this and that. So he went off talking about, like, the differences between his dad and Bron Breakker's dad. The crowd starts chanting, "Who's your daddy?" and this and that. This was really good. And Cameron Grimes gets fired up. He gets straight to the point and he tells him, "I challenge you to the Great American Bash. I challenge you to a match." I don't think it's been made official just yet. It wasn't, at least on TV, but I'm sure it's going to be made official. But he challenges him to a match at Great American Bash. And I am 100% here for this, because the stuff that they've been doing with Bron Breakker has not been great. This with Cameron Grimes, I can already tell you, is going to be a huge step up, a massive step up, because Cameron Grimes is a great worker and all the matches that he has have been really freaking good. And he hasn't had a bad match. Cameron Grimes has not had a bad match. And you can at least take him a little bit more seriously than you probably could Joe Gacy. So I like this. I'm very excited that we're moving on with Bron Breakker and Cameron Grimes. I am here for that. Now, another thing that I am definitely here for is WrestleRumble.com. So, as wrestling fans, you guys know we spend a lot of time talking about pro wrestling, predicting what is going to happen, and so on. Well, what if I told you can actually do that and possibly make some real cold hard cash? Turns out you can. For all major pay-per-views or premium live events, you can head on over to WrestleRumble.com and answer prop questions, and you can win some money. Money, 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 money. Once again, make sure to head on over to WrestleRumble.com and show them some love on Twitter and Instagram at WrestleRumble. The Forbidden Door Pick'em contest is going to be opening pretty soon. I'm assuming they're just waiting for more matches to be announced, and then this will be opening. I will let you guys know once it's officially opened, but the first place prize is actually $500. So once this opens up, purchase an entry at WrestleRumble.com enter the Forbidden Door Pick'em contest, and you have a really good chance of winning $500. Thank you so much. Show some love to Wrestle Rumble. All right, guys, we got a couple minutes left. So let me get as much as we can because we got four more segments to get into. Super chat from Sheldon Jackson. Thank you so much to Sheldon, who says they need to get that stench of the Gacy feud off of Braun Breaker ASAP. 1,000% agreed. As much as I, you know, Joe Gacy is a nice guy. I got to interview him and this and that, and I appreciate the creativity, but the feud with Braun Breaker was not great. And considering that, you know, he lost the belt to Dolph Ziggler, he got the belt back. It's just been too on and off. You've got to make him into a solid champion. And so far, they haven't really done that for Braun Breaker. So this Cameron Grimes feud could be the turn of that. So thank you so much to Sheldon Jackson for sending this in here. Juan Ortega says, hey, Denise, question. Do you remember the scene from Rush Hour when Jackie Chan and Chris are arguing my daddy could beat yo daddy's ass? Yeah, that stood out to me while watching Grimes and Braun Breaker in the ring. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I love Rush Hour, so this is literally killing me right now because I can literally hear Chris's head in my, like, I could hear his voice in my head saying my daddy could beat yo daddy's ass. I love that. Thank you so much for bringing that up. All right. Giovanni Vinci defeats this Raj guy. This was funny. So Giovanni Vinci, for those of you guys who are wondering, is Fabian Aichner, since he did not get moved up with Walter, that didn't end up happening for him. But now he's doing this Italian thing, and he's this, you know, superstar of a man, and he has this entrance. The entrance is everything. He comes out. He smiles. They take a picture. You see the first part of his name. He gets into the ring. He poses. He gets another picture. He ends up taking four photos. This is going to be a long entrance, by the way. Like, the first week, funny. The second week's going to be funny again. The third week, Jesus Christ, this is going to take a long time. But anyways, it was funny. It was cute. Giovanni gets the win. Good for him. Moving on from here. Let's see what else we got. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams versus Stax and Two Dimes. This was a, you know, like I said, this was pre-recorded as Troy is no longer with the company. This was a fine win for Carmelo and Trick Williams. I don't really have anything much I want to add about this because to me, this feels pointless to talk about. This feels pointless to talk about because Troy's not with the company anymore. So for me, it's like, what the hell do I care now? Like, I know we're still going to care about, you know, Tony D'Angelo and, you know, the whole thing that they do with the family and Legado and all of this and that. But this match, to me, I guess knowing in hindsight, it's kind of like, oh, well, I don't really care. Why? Because this is, to me, this is rendered moot now. So that's how I felt about that. Main event time. We got Indy and Cora and Roxanne Perez versus Toxic Attraction. This was a really good main event. At least I thought they kept the action going for the I would say for the majority of this match. They really kept the action going good, which I appreciated. This was a good way to actually get all three members of Toxic Attraction in the ring, having a match together. I feel like for the most part, we don't see them wrestle. Or we, like, sometimes get to see a match with, like, JC and Gigi. And then every now and then we get a match with Mandy Rose. I still think they need to wrestle more on the show. So I liked that this was a good way of getting all three women to actually wrestle together. Because I feel like that's the, you know, that's part of the reason why you're into Toxic Attraction. It's part of the trios thing. Yeah, they're, you know, doing the tag team stuff and the single stuff with Mandy Rose, but having them all come together as, you know, a team is part of the selling point, at least for me. But Indy and Cora and Jade, they all did, Indy, Cora and Roxanne, they all did a pretty good job. Good stuff there. The ending was pretty good too. You had Cora hit the senton and then Roxanne is the one who actually gets the pin. So that was interesting as well. More so because I like the dynamics of Cora and Roxanne. So that was good. And I think they've been doing a great job of establishing not just Cora Jade, but more so Roxanne Perez, with her winning the NXT Women's Breakout Tournament. And, you know, she has friends, and they're really establishing her as somebody to pay attention to on the roster. So I like the way that they are building up Roxanne Perez. And same thing for Cora Jade. You know, Cora Jade's gotten some pretty good storylines and some pretty good features on NXT 2.0. So same thing for her. Indy, like I said earlier, she's just trying to find her way. Last but not least, guys, next week we are going to be seeing the NXT North American Championship match between Carmella Hayes and Tony D'Angelo. And we're also going to be seeing Lash Legend versus Alba Fire and Grayson Waller versus Solo Sikoa taking place next week. Now, tomorrow, I will be back once again to chat AEW Dynamite. And then Friday, I will be here to chat SmackDown and Rampage. But that's a wrap for me today, guys. I got 6 minutes to make it to my gym class because it starts at 8. So I'll see you guys tomorrow. Bye, everyone. Take care.